In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the Anglican 1662 Book of Common Prayer, 30 November is the red letter day of St. Andrew. And today, the 29th of November 2022, is the eve of St. Andrew's Day. And in Anglican tradition, this day may be observed as a day of prayer for missions. And from last Sunday, it's also the liturgical season of Advent, remembering both the first and second Advents. And with respect to the second Advent, the teaching of Articles 1a, 2a and 8 of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God and in Jesus Christ, our Lord, who shall come to judge the quick and the dead, is relevant in connection with the teaching of Acts 20:21 of repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. As found in the words of the Apostle Paul in Acts 17:30 and 31, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he shall judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And hence, this is relevant to the issue of big beat music, as we need good, religiously conservative, Protestant Christian missionary work to include reference in it to the great dangers of big beat music, and the need to repent of it in connection with Godward repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who saith in Mark 1:15, repent ye and believe the gospel. And so on this eve of St. Andrew's Day, let us pray. Almighty God, who didst give such grace unto thy holy apostle St. Andrew, that he readily obeyed the calling of thy Son Jesus Christ and followed him without delay, grant unto us all that we, being called by thy holy word, may forthwith give up ourselves obediently to fulfill thy holy commandments, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Welcome to all listening to this address. This is the fifth in a series of six sermons, the first three last week on St. Cecilia's Day, and the last three today on the eve of St. Andrew's Day on music entitled The Big Beat Music Nightmare, being preached on the 22nd and 29th of November 2022. The trilogy last week on St. Cecilia's Day dealt in the first sermon with the 1950s and 1960s bass to big beat music, as seen largely, though not exclusively, with reference to Elvis Presley and the Beatles. And in the second sermon with the fact that big beat music is intrinsically a more dangerous music genre in its innate potential for evil, and in this context consider the issue of what's sometimes called CCM or contemporary Christian music, and included a short case study of a one-time friend of mine who was a member of the band AC/DC. And while a multiplicity of issues are discussed in each of the following four sermons, including racial babelism and anti-patriarchal sex role perversion, in terms of a special focus in the third to sixth sermons, in the third sermon, the immoral nature of big beat music was considered with special though not exclusive reference to fornication. And now in the trilogy of today on Eve of St. Andrew's Day, firstly in the previous fourth sermon, consideration was given to the immoral nature of big beat music with special though not exclusive reference to the issues of sodomy and violence, including sadomasochism. Now secondly in the fifth sermon, which in harmony with Anglican tradition found in the homilies of Article 35 of the 39 Articles will be divided into a Part A and Part B with a break between them, will be considered in this Part 5a the immoral nature of big beat music with special, though not exclusive, reference to false religious beliefs and false religions in regard to apostasy from the Christian faith, a blasphemous claim to be a Christian, the deification of music as an idol or false god, the deification of a woman made into a lust idol, Darwinian macroevolution, Romish Mariolatry, some reference to heathen reincarnation found in heathen Hinduism, heathen Buddhism, heathen Jainism and infidel Sikhism, and general blasphemy. Then after a break, the fifth sermon will continue with special, though not exclusive, reference to false religious beliefs and false religions in Part 5b in regard to pantheism, Baha'ism, religious universalism, Mohammedanism, heathen gypsies, heathen Hinduism, some further reference to heathen reincarnation found in heathen Hinduism, heathen Buddhism, heathen Jainism and infidel Sikhism, and some other matters of heathen Buddhism and the issue of devotees or devilish witchery or sorcery and voodoo and Satanism. And then in the sixth sermon, once again, divided into part A and part B, with a break between them, shall be considered the immoral nature of big beat music, with special, though not exclusive, reference in part 6A to profane language, which includes a lesser reference to making gambling a lust idol. And then after a break, the sixth sermon will continue in part 6B, with special, though not exclusive, reference to drugs, with some lesser reference to drunkenness, as well as the importance of the need for evangelistic missionary work, with reference to the great Protestant missionary movement commenced in the late 18th and early 19th centuries and continuing till the Second Advent, at which time Jesus Christ shall come to judge the quick and the dead, and with some special, although not exclusive, reference to the need for the gospel proclamation to deal with the issue of repentance from ungodly big beat music. And so, of relevance to these sermons, there's an important biblical message to Christians in the eve of St. Andrew's Day and season of Advent, with respect to the Second Advent and Day of Final Judgment, to make the right musical choices in what they listen to, and for musicians to use their musical skills and talents for good and not for bad. For as taught in 1 Samuel 16, both the Spirit of God may work through good music, and the devil and his devilish spirits may work through bad music. And so this means that there's a spiritual warfare connected with the music one chooses to listen to. For the teaching of Ephesians 5:19, that we should be speaking in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, is one element of the wider teaching in Ephesians 6:11 and 12. Put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And so in this spiritual battle, we must fight the good fight. And that does not simply mean in a negative sense shunning the evil, such as ungodly big beat music, but also in a positive way having in its place something good, Christian and decent. And in this context, we find in the example of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, that as recorded in St. Matthew 26:30, he sung a hymn. Now, in these six sermons, I'm walking the Ephesians 5, 12 and 13 tightrope, which on the one hand requires that enough information be given to reprove a matter, but on the other hand recognises that it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And keeping one's balance stable as one walks that tightrope is no easy matter. For while heavy metal rock intrinsically beats up fleshly lusts, other big beat music intrinsically can quite easily be used to beat up fleshly lusts, and so it's intrinsically a more dangerous music genre in its innate potential for evil, and it has undoubtedly been a vehicle for the beating up of fleshly lusts, such as, for example, tolerance to false religion. They seek to get their listeners to jump and gyrate and prance and shake and rattle and roll, beating up fleshly lusts that could easily spill over into all kinds of ungodliness. For this is the big beat music nightmare! In their abbreviated forms, the Exodus 20, 1st, 2nd, and 10th precepts are I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make, bow down to, nor serve any graven image. And thou shalt not covet. In the Gospels, in his Sermon on the Mount, Christ upholds the first, second, and tenth commandments of the moral law against lust idols when he says in Matthew 6:24, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." And bearing in mind that false religion is a form of deception which attacks God's truth, our Lord also upholds the ninth commandment of Exodus 20:16, saying in Matthew 19:18, "Thou shalt not bear false witness." And likewise in the epistles, the Apostle Paul upholds the moral law of the first, second, and tenth commandments when he refers to lust idols in Colossians 3:5 as covetousness, which is idolatry. And he also upholds the ninth precept, saying in Romans 13:9, "Thou shalt not bear false witness." And more generally, we read of the deadly sins of unbelief, idolatry, and lying in Revelation 21:8. "But the unbelieving and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire." And so the primary issue we are looking at in this fifth sermon of false religion is an egregious violation of the first and or second and ninth precepts of the moral law of the Ten Commandments, or Holy Decalogue. And so the moral law's orbit acts to safeguard broad tenets of the religiously conservative Protestant Christian faith, which is the only true religion, such as those found in the doctrine of the Apostles' Creed, providing this creed is understood biblically, and it's only understood biblically inside of religiously conservative Protestant Christianity. For example, the usage of the name singular of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost in Matthew 28:19 is Trinitarian, pointing to one name of one supreme being with three divine persons, and biblically understood 2 Corinthians 13:14. The Apostles' Creed is Trinitarian in the words of Articles 1, 2, and 9. "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. I believe in the Holy Ghost." And therefore, any religious belief which denies the doctrine of the Holy Trinity is an example of the Revelation 21:8 unbelieving, who in hell shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Biblically understood, Matthew 1:23 and Philippians 2:5-7, the incarnation is required in the words of Article 3 of the Apostles' Creed, in which, with reference to the Son of God, Article 3a says he was conceived by the Holy Ghost, that is, fully God. And Article 3b says, born of the Virgin Mary, that is, fully man. And therefore, any religious belief which denies the doctrine of the incarnation, in which the Son of God, Jesus Christ, is both fully God and fully man, is an example of the Revelation 21:8 unbelieving, who in hell shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. And likewise, biblically understood, John 3:16 and Ephesians 2:8 and 9, the words of Article 2a of the Apostles' Creed, "I believe in Jesus Christ," when understood with such scriptures as Acts 16:31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved," where to believe means to have saving faith, requires the doctrine of justification by faith alone. And the exclusivity of this as the only way of salvation is taught in the words of Acts 4:10 and 12, "By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead," verse 12, "neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And therefore, any religious belief which denies the doctrine of justification by faith alone in Jesus Christ, or denies that there is no other way of salvation, is an example of the Revelation 21:8 unbelieving, who in hell shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. John Ankerberg and John Weldon in their 1992 book, The Facts on Rock Music, Is It Really Satanic?, ask the question, quote, "How does rock music reject Christian beliefs?" unquote, and quote, "Does rock music support the occult?" unquote. And this now brings us to the issue of false religious beliefs or false religions in the context of big beat music, which we are considering in this fifth of six sermons. And as this music beats up fleshly lusts, in harmony with 1 Samuel 16, it can be readily used as a pointer in the direction of false religion. The issue of false religion has been already referred to with the Beatles in connection with John Lennon's blasphemy against Jesus Christ in his 1965 book, A Spaniard in the Works. Agnosticism and atheism, in which the big beat idols effectively make gods of themselves. Heathen Hinduism, the interfaith compromise between Christianity, heathen Hinduism and heathen Buddhism. And other false religions have been promoted by rock idols. For example, Mike Love of the Beach Boys has promoted transcendental meditation. And the Beach Boys in 1988 were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Or Richie Blackmore of Deep Purple in a July 1986 Circus magazine admits he is involved with the satanic when he says he attends seances. And in 2016, Deep Purple was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which is better called a Hall of Shame. Then there is the issue of apostasy from the Christian faith. For instance, Bob Dylan went from being a Jew to being a Jewish Christian and then fell into deep apostasy and returned to infidel, Trinitarian and Christ-denying Judaism. Now, for example, the valuable work I use in my textual commentaries, available at my website of http://www.gavinmcgrahbooks.com, of Tadian's Dear Tesseron, is comparable to some of Bob Dylan's Christian music, in that Tadian in the 2nd century and Dylan in the 20th and 21st centuries are examples of Mark 4, 5, 16 and 17 stony ground believers who would endure but for a time. For in the words of 1 John 2:19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But in harmony with Mark 4, 5 and 16, which says initially their faith sprang up and they did receive it with gladness, during this time they professed to be Christians, they both produced some valuable work. In the case of Tadian, his Dear Tesseron, and in the case of Bob Dylan, some of his songs on the 1979 album Slow Train Coming and 1980 album Saved. I say some because, for example, when on Slow Train Coming, he sings in Precious Angel his words to an unsaved Jewish wife, quote, "Shine your light on me. You know, I just couldn't make it by myself. I'm a little too blind to see," unquote. He sings of his own spiritual blindness and future downfall. For true faith would sing of one who finds himself in a religiously mixed marriage entered before conversion of the believer, something like, "Well, my own faith don't need it, but I'd sure like to see it. Come on, baby, shine your light on me." He also sings of his wife, "You're the lamp of my soul, girl, and you torch up the night." And this shows an idolatrous goddess view of his wife, contrary to the first, second and tenth precepts. Whereas he should have said something like, "Christ's the lamp of my soul, girl, so let's get that right." And as for the line, "The enemy is subtle, howbeit we are so deceived. When the truth's in our hearts and we still don't believe, he is ultimately again singing of his own downfall." By contrast, some of his other songs are okay. And so, with the same sort of qualifications I would make for Tatian's Diatessaron or something like, though not exactly the same as I would make for various portions of the Apocrypha, I would say that providing it's doctrinally sound, and just like the Apocrypha in general, not all of Dylan's so-called Christian songs specifically are doctrinally sound, but providing a given song is, and in general a number of songs in Dylan's two albums are, more so those in his second album Saved than they can be used by the Christian in a private context, but not ever in public worship, for the aforementioned reason I have already discussed in the second sermon of this series with respect to weaker and stronger brethren. But it's also true that Bob Dylan's apostasy can be used as a bad example of falling away from the Christian faith. Now, providing they are understood biblically, and they are only so understood biblically in religiously conservative Protestant Christianity, the Christian faith is found in such great symbols as the Apostles' Creed, Lord's Prayer, Ten Commandments, and sacraments of baptism and communion. And in this context, it is with great sadness that I note with regard to Bob Dylan that in accordance with the words of 2 Peter 2:22, it happened according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. And so, Dylan, who before he was a Christian, first sang in favour of wickedness and vice in such songs as the 1964 song, The Times They Are A-Changin', in such dishonest and rebellious lyrics, contrary to the fifth and ninth precepts, as, quote, come fathers and mothers throughout the land and don't criticise what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. The old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand, for the times they are a-changing, unquote. Well, as far as I'm concerned, you, Dylan, you're the one who can get right out of the way, Bobby boy, as by the grace of God, I, for one, condemn this type of vileness and rottenness and evil. This type of rubbish tried to depict those opposed to the filthy libertinism, anti-white, race-based, cultural Christian, nationalistic racism, anti-patriarchal, anti-sexism, fornication, easy divorce, sodomy, abortion, and all the rest of it as bigots in such lying words as, quote, don't criticize what you can't understand. Well, let me say, they could understand this kind of filthiness very well indeed, and just didn't want it. And as one who was conceived in the 1950s and born in the 1960s, let me say that this kind of evil wasn't wanted by some of the younger ones of this, my generation also, who aren't depicted in this kind of propaganda imagery of the so-called generation gap. For both those good parents and those good children of them who didn't agree with these ungodly social changes understood the issues a lot better than the generality of that brainwashed, pimply, rebellious generation of the 1950s and 1960s who made rock idols out of Dylan and others. And these type of hurtful and destructive lyrics were part of the creation of the so-called generation gap, which was really a righteousness gap. Then, after Bob Dylan temporarily found something better in his stony ground conversion to evangelical Protestant Christianity and 1979 album Slow Train Coming and 1980 album Saved, following his apostasy from Christianity, as in 2 Peter 2:22, St. Peter saith, the dog is turned to his vomit, his own vomit again. We likewise find Dylan in filthiness and vileness. For example, in his 1992 song, Black Jack Davy, and in an age when one of the prevalent lust idols is the god of gambling, if blackjack here refers to someone in the lust idol of card gambling in gambling houses, a matter contrary to the first, second, and tenth commandments, as further elucidated upon in today's sixth sermon, and whether or not that connotation is regarded as present, contrary to the fifth, seventh, and tenth commandments of the Holy Decalogue, the adulterous and marital deserting lyrics include a woman described as one, quote, to go with Black Jack Davy, ride off with Black Jack Davy. Well, I'll forsake my house and home, and I'll forsake my baby. I'll forsake my husband too, for the love of Black Jack Davy, unquote. Or in his 2020 album, Rough and Rowdy Ways, the song I Contain Multitudes has such lyrics as, quote, got skeletons in the walls of people you know. I'll drink to the man that shares your bed. I paint nudes. I'm just like them British bad boys, the Rolling Stones, unquote. And as a reward for this 2 Peter 2:21 dog returning to his own vomit and this pig wallowing in the mire, the Jew who first converted to and then became apostate from Christianity in order to return to the false religion of Christ-denying infidel Judaism, Bob Dylan, was in 1988 inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which is better called the Hall of Shame. And in 2016, he was awarded one of the so-called Nobel Prizes for his songs, which is better called one of the Ig Nobel Prizes. There is also the issue of a blasphemous claim to be a Christian. Now, for instance, the reggae group Payable on Death, acronym POD, are allegedly a, quote, Christian, unquote, group, although this is clearly a blasphemous claim. For example, in their 2018 song Circles, they sing, quote, poison heals my pain, poison kills the pain, unquote. And in their 2008 album, When Angels and Serpents Dance, this is a name with satanic overtones of fallen angels dancing with serpents, which symbolize fallen angels of the Genesis 3 and Revelation 12 serpent, who is the devil. And in this album's sexually violent, sadomasochistic song, Addicted, which reached number 9 on the Big Beat chart, they sing, quote, deal me up another hit of self-mutilation and let me blow my brains. I'm so high, magic state, cast a spell, unquote. In the words of the question asked in Galatians 3:1, O foolish, Who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? And bearing in mind that big beat music genre, though not intrinsically evil, can intrinsically quite easily be used for the mischievous ends of beating up fleshly lusts, and so it's intrinsically a more dangerous music genre in innate potential for evil, even though that potential may not always be realised. And as referred to in the second sermon, the beat of this music is calculated to create a mood in the listener and can be almost hypnotic. And in this context, it's notable that rhythmic drumming is a musical element of a number of uncivilized, backward and degraded tribes used in connection with heathen religion as a means of helping listeners to enter into an altered state of consciousness. This usage of rhythmic drumming to help achieve altered states of consciousness is relevant to the potential connection of this jungle beat music to a number of issues, including those especially focused on in this fifth sermon of false religion, and those focused on in the following sixth sermon of drugs and drunkenness. Jefferson Airplane, or Starship, sang in favour of drugs in such songs as their 1967 White Rabbit, whose lyrics include, quote, "One pill makes you larger and one pill makes you small," unquote. And their guitarist Craig Chiquico, of coloured Portuguese descent, bearing in mind the mixed race nature of so much of Portugal, deified music as an idol or false god, saying in Bay Area Music Magazine of February 1977, quote, "Rock concerts are the churches of today. Music puts them on a spiritual plane. All music is God," unquote. And in 1996, Jefferson Airplane were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. One also sees this element in Robert Seger's 1962 song, "I Want to Get Lost in Your Rock and Roll," with the lyrics of the lost, quote, "Oh, give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I want to get lost in your rock and roll and drift away," unquote. And in 2004, Seger was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The group U2 attacked the biblical teaching of such scriptures as Genesis 1:1 and Acts 4:24, found in Article 1 of the Apostles' Creed. "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth." In their Darwinian macroevolution promoting 2000 song, Wild Honey, which includes the lyrics, quote, "In the days when we were swinging from the trees, I was a monkey," unquote. Now, this issue of creation is more fully discussed in my book, Creation, Not Macroevolution, Mind the Gap, which is available as a free download at my website of http://www.gavinmcgratehbooks.com. Or on Yahoo or Google, type in Gavin McGrath Books. While Darwinists nowadays more generally claim a common ancestor to man, monkeys and apes, a distinction arguably without merit if one were to then classify this alleged common ancestor, the point is clear that the band U2 are making a claim of Darwinian macroevolutionary theory that's denying God's creatorship. And in 2005, the creationist denying group U2 were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which is better called a Hall of Shame. Now, as noted in the third sermon, in Rolling Stone of 12 January 1978, David Bowie says plainly, quote, "Rock and roll has always been the devil's music," unquote. Though Bowie was not a Buddhist, he was influenced by and known to be interested in heathen Buddhism from 1967, and he studied heathenism under the heathen Buddhist from Tibet, Lama Chimi Rinpoche, and in reflection of his sympathies to and interests in a heathen religion, he did not specifically join. In 1967, Bowie wrote the song Silly Boy Blue as a tribute to the influence of his heathen Buddhist teacher Rinpoche. And when Bowie died in 2016, in accordance with heathen practice forbidden in Amos 2:1, in which the bones of the dead are burned into lime, a practice found in both heathen Buddhism and Romanism, he was cremated. In a 2005 Esquire interview, David Bowie said of his religious beliefs, in which I shall add the word Roman before Catholic, so as not to blasphemously use the term Catholic, quote, I have a passion for the visual in religious rituals, even though they may be completely empty and bereft of substance. The incense is powerful and provocative, whether Buddhist or Roman Catholic, unquote. David Bowie, who declared, quote, rock and roll has always been the devil's music, unquote, thus promoted some kind of interfaith compromise with a syncretism of ideas coming from multiple sources, including heathen Buddhism and the Church of Antichrist, which is the Church of Rome. And in 1995, David Bowie was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which is better called the Rock and Roll Hall of Shame. The group Chumbawamba, in their 1997 album Tub Thumping, in the song Mary Mary, includes a rebellious woman who says, quote, I sold my soul for sex and gin, unquote. And it violates Article 7 of the Apostles' Creed, which says Jesus Christ sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. For biblically understood, the Hebrews 8:1, Jesus Christ, who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, is said in Hebrews 7:25, to ever liveth to make intercession for believers. For this, John 14:6 and 1 Timothy 2:5, one mediator between God and man, is struck down by a Romanist or semi-Romanist Mariolatrist claims that one can pray to Mary as a co-redeemer. And in this 1997 song, Mary, Mary, Mary is invoked, and that's false religion. In violation of the first, second precepts of the moral law of Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, Mariolatry is also promoted by the band Zwan. In their 2003 album entitled Mary Star of the Sea, which debuted on the Big Beat charts at number 3, they use a Mariolatry promoting Romish name and claim in the song of that name to, quote, follow Jesus, unquote. Well, that can't be right, for idolatry is deadly sin. And in the case of Mariolatry, it's connected to a false gospel that heretically denies the Galatians 3:11 teaching of Protestantism, the just shall live by faith. And Galatians 5:20 and 21 says those in idolatry and heresies shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Furthermore, in their song Yeah, the group Zwan again violate the moral law's first and second precepts, this time together with the 10th precept in the last idol of drugs, singing, quote, drugs are my addiction, unquote, and also use foul language, contrary to the moral law's 7th and 10th precepts, with a crude sex word for fornication that I shall censor to flaming in the words, quote, what I want, you can't flaming kill, unquote. And these moral precepts of the Decalogue are further violated in their song Come With Me, in the words of a whoremonger to a whore, quote, stay the night, unquote. Well, my advice is don't stay one second with these dirty, filthy, Mariolatrous fornicators and drug users who blasphemously claim to, quote, follow Jesus, unquote. The facts of life are they follow the devil. And the Negro Kirk Franklin parades himself around as a so-called contemporary Christian musician, but he won runs with the devil's brats. In his 2002 song, The Blood Song, his lyrics attacking racially segregated churches include, quote, "Some say you're black, you're white. It doesn't matter what colour you are. Yet every Sunday we separate and bring the Father pain," unquote. Well, that's a slander against the God who created and segregated the races in Genesis 9-11, Deuteronomy 32:8, and Acts 17:26. And 1 Corinthians 6:9-10 says of revilers, which is rendered in the Anglican 1662 Book of Common Prayer Commination Service as slanderers, that such slanderers shall not inherit the kingdom of God. While the racial universality of the gospel is taught in such scriptures as Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, and the Luke 10:30-37 parable of the Good Samaritan, which teaches the wider reach of the Decalogue's neighbour principle, these scriptures are misapplied if used to show the mind of God for race-based linguistic cultural nationalism and segregation of the races. For while Luke 10:30 records that the Samaritans used a common public road from Jerusalem to Jericho, Luke 9:52 refers to a village of the Samaritans, since they lived in their own Samaritan mixed races area. And in Acts 21, the holy apostle St. Paul was sent to a Christian martyr's death on the false allegation he had taken a Gentile over the segregation line of the Jewish temple's Gate Beautiful as some kind of desegregationist campaigner. And to the extent that it was a capital offence for a Gentile to cross the segregation line, the Apostle Paul died on the false charge that men may know that Christianity is not opposed to segregation. And returning to the Negro rock idol, Kirk Franklin, we here see an enemy of this truth following in ungodly post-World War II secular values in making a similar desegregationist claim. And in 2021, this racial babelist and blasphemer of the God who created and segregated the races in Genesis 10 and 11, as recognized in Luke 10, 1 and 17 and Acts 17, 26, was among an inaugural group inducted into the, quote, Black Music and Entertainment Walk of Fame, unquote, in Atlanta, Georgia, USA, together with such other undesirables as the evil-doer Negroes Michael Jackson and Stevie Wonder, on what would be better called the Black Music and Entertainment Walk of Shame. To the question, why do such desegregationists attack segregated white churches, but are happy to have a black Negro segregated walk of shame? The answer is that they just want to stop white Protestant Christians celebrating their identity as part of their vicious attack on white Protestants. They don't care if Jews or Chinamen or Negroes choose to be segregated, but if white Protestant Christians seek to be segregated to celebrate our Japhethite race and Christian culture, then all kinds of vicious anti-racist propaganda is brought forth to attack us. Another example of an ungodly man parading himself under the name of Christian as a, quote, gospel, unquote, singer, but who performs a false religion, is the Negro Reuben Studdard. He rose to big beat idol status as the winner of the 2003 show, quote, American Idol, unquote, and also got a 2003 nomination for Best Male Rhythm and Blues Performance. The mere fact that he would appear on, let alone win, a big beat music show called American Idol shows that he endorses lust idols contrary to the first, second and tenth precepts of the moral law of Exodus 20. His 2018 album, Reuben Sings Luther, a tribute, may sound to the unwary as something about the great Martin Luther, but it's not. It's actually about a vile, big beat rhythm and blues idol, a Negro of the name Luther Vandross, who among other things sang as a background vocalist for the Negro big beat idol Stevie Wonder. Songs on this album include Always and Forever, which, contrary to the moral law's first and second precepts, appeals to, quote, magic, unquote, or the song Bad Boy, which includes the lyrics, contrary to the fifth and tenth precepts, quote, we're gonna have us a good time tonight. The last time we had a party, it ended when the sun came up. Bad boy, he's gonna sneak out tonight. I hope your mama don't look in your room, 'cause if she does, she'll be here soon. Boy, she's going to be mad. You're a bad boy. Everybody's swinging, dancing to the music. Unquote. But in the same way that Elvis Presley would sometimes incongruously sing a religious song at his concerts, so likewise on this album, Rupert Studdett sings the song So Amazing, which includes verses from the hymn Amazing Grace, coupled with some of his lyrics. But given the wider songs of this album, this is really a blasphemous claim to be a Christian, contrary to the third precept of the Decalogue of Exodus 20, thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain, to which, in the fuller form of Exodus 20, God added these words of emphasis: for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who taketh his name in vain. Reuben Studdett's 2004 disc entitled Soulful came in at number one on the Big Beat charts, and his song Sorry got into the Big Beat single charts. In his song Sorry, he further violates the third precept of the moral law with his repeated profane usage of D-A-M-N. Concerning the issues raised in the phrase sex, drugs and rock and roll, he says, quote, had way too much to drink, all them strip clubs, all them hot tubs, I'm going to give them up because I don't want to lose you now, unquote. From the biblical Christian perspective, the idea that a man is attracted to the last idol of drunkenness and also fornication, including lustful strip clubs, but will give them up not because he has repented of his sin and turned Godward, but simply because his girlfriend wants him to, is not a satisfactory reason. It's an admission by him of an unregenerate heart and nature that loves drunkenness and fornication-inducing lustful strip clubs. By contrast, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ saith with regard to regeneration in his Sermon on the Mount at Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This same issue of an unregenerate heart is seen in his lust for fornication in his song After the Candle Burns, with the lyrics, quote, hold me, baby, all night long, hugging and kissing till morning, the emotions taking over our body, your body and mine, because I won't stop all night long, unquote. And the word cussing refers to profane swearing in violation of the third commandment, and he violates both this and the seventh and tenth commandments in his song Don't Quit on Me, in the lyrics, quote, keep cussing, I swear, let's make up so we can get it on, because you cussing me out, it turns me on. You cussing me out, it turns me on, unquote. And of such vain and rash swearing, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ saith in his Sermon on the Mount at Matthew 5:34, swear not at all. And as for ungodly studdards, fornication, lust, this whoremonger seeks a whore in the words, let's make up so we can get it on. Coupled with the fact that he regards profane swearing as something that, quote, turns me on, unquote, again shows this man's unregenerate nature. But a fornication lust, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ saith in his Sermon on the Mount at Matthew 5:27-29, thou shalt not commit adultery. I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not thy whole body should be cast into hell. And so the claims that the Negro Reuben Studdard is a, quote, Christian gospel, unquote, singer is exposed as an example of false religion, and thus a violation of the ninth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness. For the fruit of the Spirit found in a believer's life is not found in his songs. It would have been possible to discuss this idolatrous, blasphemous whoremonger who seeks to incite disobedience to decent parents and incite lust, Reuben Studdard, under some other headings. But given that this big beat idol is classified as a, quote, gospel, unquote, singer, and given we have considered egregious breaches from this big beat idol of the first, second, third, fifth, seventh, ninth, and tenth commandments of the Holy Decalogue of Exodus 20, that's seven of the Ten Commandments in six songs. And given his 2003 album is entitled Soulful, spelt S-O-U-L-F-U-L, so that once again it recognises a nexus between the soul and his music, a nexus I accept as taught in 1 Samuel 16, means that I have placed him under the heading of false religion. And in doing so, I'd say this is the type of thing described in Jude 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our Lord and God into lasciviousness and denying our only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8. These filthy dreamers defile the flesh. Verse 12. These are spots in your feasts of charity. And so we see that this a type of music can so easily be used for beating up a fleshly lusts such as false religion. It's the big beat music nightmare. Among those professing Christianity, another such Jude 12 spot in feasts of charity is the sex role perverted negress, Whitney Houston, contrary to the fifth commandment, honour thy father and mother, which includes honouring of racial progenitors, which for white people includes holy Noah and holy Japheth. Contrary to the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill, which includes the murder of intangibles, such as race-based cultural nationalism, with these brutal nation killers attack. And though I generally use the summary form of the Decalogue's principles, contrary to the fuller form of the third commandment of Exodus 20, which includes the principle of God visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, which is applied to racial generations in Deuteronomy 23 and is evident in nature with miscegenation across secondary race, that is, within the primary race of the human race, across the secondary races of Caucasoids, Negroids, Australoids, Mongoloids and Capeoids. We find the promotion of racial babelism by the Hamitic Negress Whitney Houston in a leadership type role attacks white Christian cultural identity of countries like Australia, the UK and USA. Although in the North American context of the USA, one might have a Negro or Negress figure in a servant role to Christian whites or Jews per Genesis 9:25-27. Furthermore, contrary to the 10th precept of the Decalogue of Exodus 20, thou shalt not covet, like the earlier mentioned anti-patriarchal sex role perverts, her female image attacks the biblical teaching that the woman's primary place is in the home, in a domestic setting, as wife, mother and homemaker. And now, in reporting on her death in February 2012, a focus on the family's plugged-in article in some respects is overly positive about her, a fact reminding us that we must use such sources in a constructively critical manner, such as previously mentioned. While Plugged In contains much valuable information, for which I thank both God and man in the person of those associated with producing their useful reviews, and they are a good starting point, they aren't a good finishing point, as they're not strong enough in their condemnation of this mischievous music, which intrinsically can quite easily be used to beat up fleshly lusts with evil images and lyrics. But in Focus on the Family's Plugged-In report on her death, Paul Assay notably says, quote, "I can't say that I was ever a fan of Whitney Houston. Whitney in some ways altered the course of music. In the early 1980s, the top female artists were Joan Jett and Deborah Harry, Cyndi Lauper and Madonna. She knew she had a voice, and she inspired generations of belting singers who followed. She created not only a movement, but a template, one that powered female-led rhythm and blues into the center of pop music marketplace, where it exists on singing such on singing shows such as American Idol," unquote. As for big beat idol Whitney Houston's death, she was found dead in a bathtub of a hotel in February 2012 at age 48. And the Californian Los Angeles coroner's office reported death was caused by drowning in connection with heart disease and cocaine drug use. In addition to the illegal drug cocaine found in her, other drugs found in her system included marijuana. And so, contrary to the first, second and tenth precepts of the moral law, she was committed to the lust idol of drugs, and it was a fatal attraction that resulted in her premature death at age 48. But showing this she-wolf in ewe's sheep clothing, just 2 days before her drug-related death, she sang on a Hollywood stage the song "Jesus Loves Me." At her funeral in Newark, New Jersey, USA, one of those who performed was an ungodly big beat idol, the Negro Stevie Wonder. Typical of Whitney Houston's deceptive, ungodly tactics, On the one hand, just like she's saying Jesus loves me 2 days before her death in 2012, so likewise, in 1996, she produced an album called The Preacher's Wife, which included on it such lyrics as, "The Lord is my shepherd," and "Joy to the World." But on the other hand, just as her ungodly lust idols of drugs, including cocaine and marijuana, were taken with her cocaine-linked death in 2012, so likewise in 2009, her album I Look to You, she promoted various forbidden ungodly lusts. On the spiritual level, contrary to the first precept of the Decalogue, "I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt have no other gods before me," first the heathen astrology concept of stars being aligned, producing good luck, is invoked, and then the heathen idea of reincarnation, found in heathen Hinduism, heathen Buddhism, heathen Jainism, and infidel Sikhism, is promoted in the song "Call You Tonight," in the words, quote, "The stars must be aligned tonight, 'cause the two of us are finally meeting. I feel I know you from another life," unquote. Contrary to both the third and fourth commandments, "Thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain," and "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy," both of which teach us to distinguish between the holy and profane, 1 Timothy 1:9, of which one example is to be separated from a base focus on human feces, Deuteronomy 23:13 and 14, and Colossians 3:2, we find Whitney Houston using profane and filthy language in the song "Salute," with a crude word, "I shall censor to feces," in vile lyrics. Now brace yourself for the ugliness of the real Whitney Houston. Quote, "See, you think that your feces don't stink," unquote. And contrary to the seventh and tenth commandments of the Decalogue of Exodus 20, fornication is promoted in the song "Worth It," saying of whoremongers and whores, quote, "This is for the lovers just getting on their feet. This is for the lovers about 20 years deep. There ain't nothing in the world like being with your lover. I know somebody's going to love, I know somebody's going to make love to this song tonight," unquote. And this album, promoting heathen spiritual and moral values, debuted on the Big Beat Billboard's album charts at number one. When we look at her promotion of heathen spiritual values, fornication, and her drugs-related death, we see that the profane Whitney Houston manifests a heathen sentiment of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. As for this she-wolf in ewe sheep's clothing, who sometimes sang sweet Christian songs to lure the gullible and naive, and then sometimes sang sour heathen songs to induce lured Christian listeners into a syncretism with heathenism, as found in spiritual values of heathen astrology and heathen reincarnation, and filthy immoral values such as profanity and fornication. As for this promoter of false religion, in 2020, Whitney Houston was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which is better called the Rock and Roll Hall of Shame. The deification of man, contrary to the first, second, and tenth commandments, when a woman is made into a lust goddess in connection with lust towards or sexual relations with her. We've already considered some concepts of this with Bob Dylan in 1979, Keith Urban in 2006 and the group Incubus in 2006. For example, we considered Meatloaf in 1995, referring to a woman in the context of fornication as, quote, my saviour, unquote. Or the Bahamas in 2001, referring to a woman in the context of fornication as a, quote, goddess, unquote. And we'll see some more of this in due course with Mick Jagger in 2001, Sting in 2003, and Jason Mraz in 2020. Looking at this issue with the long-haired gits, the Bee Gees, first, I note more widely that with reference to a Rolling Stone of May 1979, that the Bee Gee Robin Gibb referred to the fact that contrary to the 7th and 10th commandments, he likes to make pornographic drawings. And contrary to the first commandment, together with his brother, the Bee Gee Morris Gibb, they both claim to have psychic extrasensory perception powers. And given that all supernatural powers come from either God or the devil, it follows that they here admitted devilish influence. And contrary to the first, second and tenth commandments, a woman is made into a lust idol goddess in their 1977 song, Saturday Night Fever, the very name of which seeks to build up fleshly lusts on a Saturday night. And in the song Night Fever, the lyrics include, quote, that sweet city woman, she moved through the light, controlling my mind and my soul. Night fever, night fever, unquote. Or in their 1977 song, How Deep Is Your Love, re-released on a 2005 album called Love Songs, the Bee Gees lyrics include, quote, I want to feel you in my arms again. You know, the door to my very soul. You're my saviour, unquote. And these big beat idols, the Bee Gees, who promote sexual lust to a woman as a lust idol goddess, were in 1997 inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Or, contrary to the third commandment of the Holy Decalogue, great blasphemy is shown in the very title of the group, quote, Lamb of God, unquote, which is sometimes abbreviated to LOG, and I shall now so abbreviate them to the acronym LOG. These blasphemers who dare to take upon their vile lips a name and function of God's only begotten Son, these evil blasphemers worship lust idols. Contrary to the first, second, ninth, and tenth precepts of the moral law, with reference to such lust idols as narcissism, or having an inflated view of oneself as a god, as well as the god of mammon, Log's 2020 song Checkmate includes the lyrics, quote, asphyxiate and choke the truth. All hail the money god. Narcissistic masquerades. So kiss the hangman as you drop the rotting corpse of decency. Just another casualty of the American scream. 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 Unquote. The Negro called a prince, who, contrary to the third commandment, in his album Controversy, sings the song, quote, flirts with blasphemy, unquote, which includes a most blasphemous chant of Christian prayer. And People magazine of November 1984 says of him, now brace yourself for great blasphemy, quote, the gospel he preaches is salvation by sex, unquote. For example, in his 2004 song, On the Couch, this whoremonger urges his whore to fornicate with him in such lyrics as, quote, come on, baby, don't make me sleep on the couch. I want to go down south, unquote. And that's I spelt E-Y-E with a double meaning in, quote, I want to go down south, unquote. Now, the slang term jam or jams refers to one's preferred music or songs. And so with jam contextually referring to big beat music, in his 2009 song Love Like Jazz, the lyrics include, quote, baby, I don't care what you learned in lovemaking school. You and me, we bout to jam. Make love like the first man and woman, unquote. And so with the blasphemy against scripture in the misuse of a reference to the first man and woman, this is the sentiment of fornication to rock music. And so once again, this is an admission by a rock by a rock idol or big beat idol that this music genre can intrinsically quite easily be used for the beating up of fleshly lusts, such as fornication. And in the same year as his drugs death in 2004, this filthy blasphemer and fornicator was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which is better called the Rock and Roll Hall of Shame. Or contrary to the positive biblical teaching of heaven found in the Apostles' Creed, the evil Negro, Michael Jackson, in his 2001 song, Heaven Can Wait, includes such lyrics as, quote, tell the angels no, heaven can wait, unquote, as he puts a lust focus on earth. And contrary to the third, seventh, and tenth commandments, the Negro Michael Jackson, in his 2009 song, This Is It, blasphemously attributes to himself the words of Jesus in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. And Jackson also promotes fornication in the words, I never thought that I could be your lover. And in 1997, the blasphemer and fornicator Michael Jackson was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The blasphemer Madonna, who in the 2003 song American Life says, quote, I'm not a Christian, unquote, in another 2003 song, Ecstatic Process, in violation of the third commandment, blasphemously says, quote, Jesus Christ, will you look at me? In the process, I forgot that I was just as good as you, unquote. And in 2008, this horrible blasphemer, Madonna, was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which is better called a Hall of Shame. Or Uncle Cracker, who is well and truly cracked in the head, like these other big beat musician idols, is horrible to just look at. In his case, he's got vile tattoos on him, contrary to the teaching of Leviticus 19:28. Ye shall not print any mark upon you, as preserved in Christian morals under the 10th precept of the moral law. Thou shalt not covet, with reference to Titus 2:12, that we should live denying worldly lusts. Showing a spiritual soul nexus to big beat music, in his 2002 re-release of the words of Robert Sager's 1962 song Drift Away, he sings, quote, oh, give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I want to get lost in your rock and roll and drift away, unquote. To the question, what does Cracker want to do to mend souls once he's got them in his rock and roll, The answer is shocking. In his 2022 song, Biggest Dock on the Lake, the answer is the lust idol of drunkenness in the words, quote, take a booze cruise, unquote, which Galatians 5, 21 and 22 itemizes as hell-bound deadly sin. But more than this, in his 2000 song, Who's Your Uncle?, he sings in violation of the 7th and 10th precepts of the moral law of, quote, topless maids, unquote, and uses foul language, including a crude fornication sex verb. In violation of the 3rd, 5th, 7th and 10th precepts of the moral law, he more generally uses foul language, including a crude fornication sex verb, blasphemy, and a crude word for feces in his 2000 album, Double Wide. For example, in his blasphemously misnamed song, Heaven. And in further violation of the 10th precept of the Decalogue, he wickedly sings of being, quote, tattooed on our arms, unquote. And repeatedly says, quote, send me to hell, unquote. To which I would reply that if he doesn't repent, he will most assuredly get his wish and be sent to hell. You see, this type of music can so easily be used to beat up fleshly lusts, such as false religion, covetousness, which 1 Corinthians 6 says is deadly sin, and other things. It's the big beat music nightmare! And in Green Day's 2004 album, American Idiot, the name of Jesus is wickedly blasphemed in the song, quote, Jesus of Suburbia, unquote, which includes the opening lines, quote, I'm the son of rage and love, the Jesus of Suburbia, the Bible of none of the above, unquote. And so this is a blasphemous devotion to an admittedly unbiblical Jesus. And in further blasphemy of the word saint and the promotion of substitute lust idols in the form of magic and drugs, as well as promoting theft and murder, so that in violation of the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 6th, 8th and 10th commandments, in their song St. Jimmy, their vile and blasphemous lyrics of this fictional evil character, the song is named after, with reference to Raman, which is a slang term for a magical and allegedly joy-giving experience, and dope is a slang term for marijuana, include the words, quote, St. Jimmy is coming down across the alleyway. My name is Jimmy, and you'd better not wear it out. Suicide commando that your mama talked about. King of the 40 thieves I'm here to represent. That needle in the vein of the establishment with an angel face and taste for suicidal cigarettes and ramen and a little bag of dope, unquote. Now, we are warned in the infallible book of the Holy Bible in 1 Corinthians 5:1 of a most shocking form of incest consisting of fornication that one should have his father's wife. And in this connection, in violation of the 5th, 7th and 10th commandments, using a crude and repulsive term in the very name of their 2020 album, which is unspeakable, so that I shall censor the fourth word to incest fornicators with mothers, their album is entitled Father of All Incest Fornicators with Mothers. And in 2015, this evil, Decalogue-breaking, big-beat band, Green Day were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Ohio, USA. And a blasphemy, which is contrary to the third commandment, is also found in the group Kid Rock. Their more generally filthy songs include their 1998 song entitled Devil Without a Cause, which repeatedly uses a crude fornication sex verb that I shall censor to the words fornicate with and profane language. I shall censor to incest fornicators with mothers. The album also promotes oral sodomy. Their 2000 album, entitled History of Rock, uses a crude, filthy fornication sex verb in the title of two songs. Their song Abortion is very blasphemous, including an attack on the biblical doctrine found in Article 8 of the Apostles' Creed, upholding the Second Advent. And their song entitled, quote, My Oedipus Complex, unquote, promotes unnatural sexual relations contrary to the fifth and seventh commandment of the moral law of the horrendous type referred to in 1 Corinthians 5:1, namely a fornication that one should have his father's wife. So too, their 2022 album entitled Bad Reputation is filled with filthy language, such as a crude fornication sex verb that I shall censor to the words fornicate with, in the words, quote, I got that fornicate with you money, unquote. A feces word I shall censor to trash, in the words, quote, I'm talking trash, unquote. And the promotion of the lust idol drug of marijuana, in the words, quote, let's smoke some weed, unquote. And so they certainly epitomise the saying, sex, drugs and rock and roll. But for our immediate purposes, the issue of blasphemy is also present with this vile band. In their 2007 album, blasphemously entitled, quote, Rock and Roll Jesus, unquote, amidst foul language and contrary to Genesis 9, 25 to 27 and Matthew 15, 21 to 28, an anti-white racial supremacy reference to Negro servant races, to Negro servants, I should say, quote, in old Mississippi's cotton fields, unquote. The song of the same name as the album includes the blasphemous lyrics, quote, you don't need a Bible, it's all sex, drugs, rock and roll. A soul sensation that you can't control. And you can see I practice what I preach. I'm your rock and roll Jesus, unquote. And these vile and disgusting big beat music idols called Kid Rock, who blaspheme the name of Jesus, sing against the Holy Bible, and whose lyrics candidly say, quote, it's all sex, drugs, rock and roll, a soul sensation that you can't control, unquote, have been called upon again and again and again by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to induct various big beat idols into that Hall of Shame, with Aerosmith in 2001, Bob Seger in 2004, Lynyrd Skynyrd in 2006, and Cheap Trick in 2016. Now, brace yourself for a filthy name. The group, quote, "We are sexual perverts," unquote. WASP, whose repertoire includes the 1986 song King of Sodom and Gomorrah, the 1989 album Headless Children, the 1992 album The Crimson Idol, the 1997 album, which uses in its title a filthy fornication sex verb that I shall censor to fornication, so that it's called Kill, Fornication, Die, their 2001 album Unholy Terror, or their 2009 album Babylon, which in the song Babylon identifies as their spiritual Babylon, wicked, quote, Hollywood, California, unquote. Referred to in an earlier sermon in this series. In their 1984 song Tormentor, sing in violation of the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th and 10th commandments. And now brace for some sexually explicit language following the word kiss. Quote, "I'm a liar and I'm a cheat. I have no morals and I'm a thief. Pillage and plunder, curse those who enter. I am a killer and a tormentor. I kiss the breast. I am a sadist that whips the flesh," unquote. And with a sadist being one who takes pleasure in inflicting pain on people, concerning the last line, quote, "I am a sadist that whips the flesh," unquote, WASP has had stage shows featuring naked women on torture racks and have simulated drinking blood from a skull. And in a quote I referred to last week in the second St. Cecilia's Day sermon of 2022, in this series, the band leader Blackie Lawless in Hit Parader of January 1985 said of devotees of rock and roll, quote, "The gods you worship are steel. At the altar of rock and roll, you kneel." And so in the second eve of St. Andrew's Day sermon, which is the overall fifth sermon in this series, I once again note that in a candid admission of the violation of the first, second and tenth commandments of the Holy Decalogue of Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, with respect to lust idols, the band leader of WASP, Blackie Lawless, leaves no room for doubt. He says plainly of big beat music, quote, "The gods you worship are steel. At the altar of rock and roll, you kneel," unquote. Billy Idol, whose very name points to him as a big beat music idol, a lust idol, said in USA Today of August 1984, quote, "Rebellion and sexuality are the bookend of rock and roll," unquote. And of drugs, he says in the song Hits magazine of May 1984, quote, "If you feel pretty much in control of who you are, then drugs aren't really a problem," unquote. And as for his 1990 song Cradle of Love, which includes such fornication lyrics as those with child molestation overtones, when he refers to, quote, "a little child bride," unquote, in the wider lyrics, quote, "Flesh for your Romeo, ah yeah baby, I hear you moan, it's easy, you know how to please me. Well, it burned like a ball on fire when the rebel took a little child bride. To tease, yeah. Good to know how to please you. If you tease me tonight, might just sleaze me all right. If you appease me tonight, and let me ease you, rock the cradle of love and soul, unquote. This song by Billy Idol, which includes promotion of fornication, contrary to the seventh commandment, and child molestation, contrary to the sixth and seventh commandments, as it indicates an element of violence, and refers to the soul, so as to try and reach out in a degrading spiritual as well as degrading moral way, won the 1991 award for the most performed song. And with rock idols such as substitute for a God focus, any promotion by any of them of atheism is therefore qualified. For example, Billy Idol's 1993 song, Blonde Over Blue, includes the blasphemous lyrics, quote, "These days, not a damn soul prays, and there is no faith because there's nothing to believe in," unquote. But he moved to faith in Satan in his 2005 album entitled Devil's Playground, which includes such songs as Super Overdrive, with the lyrics, quote, "In the devil's playground with an IDOL mind, straight up, ready to go," unquote. And this glorification of devilish idolatry won Billy Idol the Classic Rock Roll of Honor Awards Comeback of the Year Award in 2005. His idolatrous message is clearly one of promoting sex, drugs, and rock and roll in the devil's music which he plays. You see, this type of music can so easily be used to beat up fleshly lusts, such as false religious beliefs and false religions and other things. It's the Big Beat Music Nightmare! We have now considered in this fifth sermon, part 5a, the immoral nature of big beat music, with special, though not exclusive, reference to false religious beliefs and false religions in regard to apostasy from the Christian faith, a blasphemous claim to be a Christian, the deification of music as an idol or false god, the deification of a woman made into a lust idol, Darwinian macroevolution, Romish Mariolatry, some reference to heathen reincarnation found in heathen Hinduism, heathen Buddhism, heathen Jainism, and infidel Sikhism, and general blasphemy. And after a break, this fifth sermon shall continue in part 5b with special, though not exclusive, reference to false religious beliefs and false religions in regard to pantheism, Baha'ism, religious universalism, Mohammedanism, heathen gypsies, heathen Hinduism, some further reference to heathen reincarnation found in heathen Hinduism, heathen Buddhism, heathen Jainism, and infidel Sikhism, and some other matters of heathen Buddhism, and the issue of devil devotees, or devilish witchery or sorcery, and voodoo and Satanism. Now, with reference to false religion, bearing in mind that Christian faith is the only true religion, that the Christian faith is the only true religion, and religiously conservative Protestantism is the only true form of the Christian faith, on the one hand, we must shun 1 Corinthians 11, 18 and 19 schismatic heretics who deny the 1 Corinthians 10, 17, 11, 29 and 12, 12 one body, such as, for example, a number of hell-bound heretics in some, I do not say all, independent Baptist churches, which have ceased to call themselves Protestant, and heretically deny the Holy Catholic Church of Article 10A of the Apostles' Creed, as they elevate the local fellowship or communion of the saints in Article 10B of the Apostles' Creed to the only form of church they recognize. Their deep embrace of heresy is also sometimes further manifested in intolerant negativity, the Apostles' Creed, a most biblically sound statement of Christian faith. Of such like, God Almighty saith in Galatians 5, 20 and 21, that those in heresies shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But on the other hand, in considering those elements of false religious beliefs and false religions that we have in this part A of the fifth sermon, and the issues of the ecumenical compromise with Romanism and other false forms of Christianity, as seen in the heathen teaching of reincarnation in this sermon 5A, and some further matters to be considered in sermon 5B, also the interfaith compromise with religions that do not even profess to be Christian, a matter which is linked with the falsehood of religious universalism, in which the pressure is on to engage in such ecumenical compromise and interfaith compromise, then we are starkly reminded of the words of man's only saviour from sin, the Lord Jesus Christ, who saith in his Sermon on the Mount at St. Matthew 7, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And so we are thus reminded of the teaching of the holy Old Testament prophet Joshua in Joshua 24, 14 and 15. "Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Let us pray. O holy and jealous God, who saith in the second precept of the holy laws that thou didst thunder from Mount Sinai, that thou art a jealous God, and hast declared in thy holy word that thou wilt not give thy glory unto another. By thy grace, O Lord, we turn from any false gods or idols, and we worship thee and thee alone, as one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, in which we neither confound in confusion the three divine persons of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, nor divide the monotheistic substance of the one supreme being of the divine Godhead. And this we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.